The gospel reading for today comes from John chapter 15, the first 8 verses. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. So far the reading.
Our next reading today comes from 1 John chapter 4, the first 11 verses. Dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. This is how you can recognize the Spirit of God. Every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God, but every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard is coming, and even now is already in the world. You, dear children, are from God and have overcome them, because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. They are from the world and therefore speak from the viewpoint of the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God, and whoever knows God listens to us, but whoever is not from God does not listen to us. This is how we recognize the spirit of truth and the spirit of falsehood. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another.
Our third reading for this morning service comes from the book of Acts, chapter 8, starting at verse 26. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Go south to the road, the desert road, that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza." So he started out, and on his way he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of the treasury of Kedek, which means Queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah, the prophet. The Spirit told Philip, "Go to that chariot and stay near it." Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. "Do you understand what you're reading?" Philip asked. "How can I," he said, "unless someone explains it to me?" So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. This is the passage of scripture the eunuch was reading. "He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth." The eunuch asked Philip, "Please tell me, who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else?" Then Philip began with that very passage of scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. As they traveled along the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, "Look, here is water. What can stand in the way of my being baptized? And he gave orders to stop the chariot. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down to the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again, but went on his way rejoicing. Philip, however, appeared at Azotus and traveled about, preaching the gospel in all the towns until he reached Caesarea. Here ends this reading.
God's grace, his mercy, and his peace to you. In Jesus' name, amen. A while back, I shared with you about how working at a Christian bookstore, there were a number of people that would buy the once-a-year Bibles. But it was an interesting thing where I've also encountered people who collect Bibles, not just the once-a-year ones that they try and sell back or give to half-price bookstores. But there was an individual that I had a chance to talk to at one of the care centers where she had a bunch of Bibles ranging where some were expensive, some were cheap. Some of there was paperbacks that you give out at VBS and other activities. And I asked her why she had so many. And her thing was that she would buy one every time she wanted to try and read through the Bible. And if you catch that, it was try to read through the Bible. And I would ask her, what do you mean by try? And she goes, well, I never make it through the whole thing, but I always feel like I need to buy another one because I failed. To her, it was almost a sense of like penance of I didn't make it, so I need to buy another one. And so she had just stacks of Bibles all around her room that were a reminder for her of I didn't make it. The thing is, many of us can relate to that, maybe not in the sense of having stacks of Bibles, but surveys show that a lot of people will go through and try and read it, but what ends up happening is you end up getting to a part that then you look through and you say, that is a whole bunch of names or rules or so much history, and then people go, I'm gonna pass on this, and they stop. That you have this huge number of people that said at some point in their life they tried to read God's word, but that try comes up. And they stop. And this is one of those sad realities where for so many people, what is their understanding of God's word ends up becoming a challenge, a hurdle, an insurmountable task of something they sought that they wanted to do, but they couldn't accomplish it. And even what is the understanding of what is God's word and what does it hold? Well, it often ends up becoming then similar to that. A whole bunch of names, a whole bunch of things that they can't do, and a whole bunch of things that they know they should do at some point, and they fail. Easter reminds us that that is not what God's word is all about. That is not the message that we have. As we go through today hearing from both the gospel, hearing the book of Acts, hearing what John wrote to a church, that is not the message that we share. That is not the good news that you have of one day you should read this. I would say, yes, you should, but that's not the message that we have. And that was what was so genius of one of the professors I had at Irvine, where as his one of his major projects is he called it the bow tie diagram. He said, what is the message of all of God's word? It's that we have a fallen creation, and we have a Lord who has gone through and said that he has narrowed down how he is going to win back that creation, going from one people, one nation, one tribe, all the way down to out of one family and household, one Savior will be born who will take upon the sins of the world, and how from that Savior's death and resurrection, this good news of life has then gone out to every tribe, every nation, every people, that every tongue should confess that Jesus is Lord. The expanding and shooting out of what God then has done until we hear about in the end in the book of Revelation how they are circling around, insurmountable, uncountable, before the throne of the Lamb of God, saying, worthy is he. That the message we have is of a God who has come and sought after you. Last week we talked about in Psalm 23 how mercy and grace will pursue and stalk you all the days of your life. This is the type of Lord that you have, the God who says, I have loved you so deeply that because I knew of your sin, I had a plan where I would narrow everything down and that word would go out. And we look about how what happened in Palestine, has now reached you in the year 2024, that you hear this good news of what one person did on a cross, one of the most heinous, disturbing ways of dying that the Romans could conceive of, was God's plan so that you would have life. But yet, this is where we struggle, because so many of us look and feel inequipped, just like we feel inequipped with reading God's word, that we feel inequipped when we look and say, I don't know what to do, because we miss that greater narrative. We miss that greater truth that God has for you in all of this. We miss that greater calling of what God is doing, that we hear and see of knowing that we have a God who has loved you so deeply, so earnestly, and so greatly, that we miss that with everything else going on around us, just like when we attempt to read God's word. That you might relate to what we heard of when Philip was speaking to the Ethiopian who was struggling to understand, going, who is this? Because we can often look at God's word going, who is this talking about? And the answer is of Christ for you. And that, brothers and sisters, is the issue that we have, the issue that is there for us, of a God who continues to be there for you, and that you now have good news for others. Because that's exactly in God's great plan, that far be it from us to question, who does he then choose? He then says, I have given you my message, and you will do far greater things than I have ever done, because you're going to be the ones that are going to go and spread this news. You're going to be the ones that go declare the forgiveness of sins, because lest we forget, it got narrowed down to one person on a cross for the sake of the entire world. The amazing thing, though, is from there, his disciples, his followers, expanded exponentially, continued to expand and grow as they proclaimed that this was the will and word of God, that the one that was crucified is alive again. As more and more saw him, as they continued to rejoice in him, that this good news then even reached someone that was traveling from Ethiopia. And upon hearing this, as Philip was moved by the Spirit to go and hear that God said, you will go and you will explain to him, that it's God who then pushed and nudged Philip to go and receive this news, to go and share this with someone who usually would have no means of hearing what Jesus has done, that through Philip, more were then brought to God's kingdom. Through the Holy Spirit, Philip was nudged to talk to someone who, under normal circumstances, would never be a part of God's chosen people, his royal nation. Through the working of the Holy Spirit, we even hear about how then his entire family was then brought to faith. And that's not, if we don't think about it culturally, not just saying those that were part of his household. This would be everyone under his care was part of now that faith. He shared this good news with everyone that he cared about, because that is what the old idea of a household was, the idea that it wouldn't just be this Ethiopian, but it would have been this Ethiopian and everyone that was under his domain. But now we look at today's world, and we end up saying, I don't feel equipped. We end up having this issue that rises back up, this guilt that is in our hearts, this guilt that we all feel, this guilt that we share, of this guilt of saying, I don't know how to share the good news. Brothers and sisters, that is the glorious news that we share at Easter time. That it's not the guilt of, I'm not equipped, I don't know how, I'm not sure what to do. We have the gift of a God who says that he has done it all for you. The gift of whether you're saying you're feeling like the Ethiopian who was saying, who is this about? Whether you're saying you're feeling like Philip who's saying, God, I don't know if this is who you want me to talk to. Or whether you're saying you're feeling like one of the crowds who is there who has this good news preached and now needs to hear it. You have a God who says, I have done it all. And through my Spirit, he even says, I will give you the words to speak when the time does come. Because think about how much you have compared to people even 500 years ago. You know what that good news is. That good news is so readily available to you, it is almost on the bounds of absurdity. That you have it where you can search it, you can have it on your phone, you can have it on your tablet, you can have it everywhere you go. That God's good news for you, that he sent his son to pay the price, is right there. You can search any verse anywhere you wanted to, and it is right at your fingertips. But yet, what do we do with this understanding? What do we do with the good news that you have a Lord and Savior who has paid the price for you utterly and completely? Because we have a God who says that good news needs to go out. That good news isn't just something where you get to say, cross that off my checklist of to-do list. I no longer need to go buy another Bible. This is the good news of a God who says, I had this plan since before the beginning of creation, and it is there to go out so that others will hear and know that you don't need to be in your fallen state anymore, but that I have a redemption plan to save and redeem a fallen world. And that goes to those around us, and for us included. And so, with this Easter season, as we continue to wrap it up and as we continue to rejoice in that going forward, don't let this Easter message be one where you just look and say, well, that's good until next time we come around to it. Remember the Easter message of what that empty tomb means, of what that cross means, and what that life means for you. Because you have a God who has given you a gospel message that gives you the narrative of what everything means around us, of a God who has redeemed you, claimed you, and has given you life, that he has equipped you with his message, one that is going out and continues to grow. In his name, amen.